preaching that we've already had in the last little while. But you know, God gave me this about 2 months ago, and my heart has been burdened ever since then. And you know, I hope that you can receive what God gave to me like He gave it to me, because it's so important in the church. And I think everyone in here wants to see the church grow. And you know, I've said many times as I was growing up, and I can, Brother Mike, I'm sure you could go along with what I'm saying. We've seen churches that were on fire for God. We've seen churches that the gifts were being used and distributed, that when somebody came in, they're like, I want that. That's genuine. I want that. That's real. That's where I want this body to be. Praise God. I want more power in the pulpit and more action in the pews. I want God to bless in such a way that the sinners can't come in and sit amongst us, but they have to hit the altar and cry out to God for repentance. Hallelujah. But you know, tonight as I go into my message, and my title is Unity Brings Growth. Hallelujah. Without it, I don't know how we stand. We need one another. We need to stand by one another. And you know, we're approaching the day more and more all the time that the church is going to have to stand together. If a family even is going to be strong, it's got to be in unity. Praise God. You know, I can remember the times when my kids were growing up, and maybe my two sons would be in an argument, be at each other, and next thing you know, I could look out across the yard, Brother Mike, and I'd see them out there talking and working it out. That's unity. Praise God, and that's what we want for the body of Christ. And you know, we are part of the church. We're not the whole church. We, you know, this building's not the church. We're the church. And the church is all over this world. And I just wish today that the whole world could hear what I'm going to say, because unity will bring us growth and it'll bring us closer together. I want to start you off today with Psalms 133. Pray for me, because like I said, I don't even know how I could even follow what we've been hearing the last little while. But you know, it says, behold, before I go, John, you pray. Psalms 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. You know, that was an anointing. That was unity, Brother Brad. That's what we need in the church today. We don't have as much unity as we once had, and we don't have as much anointing as we once had, but we need that. You may be seated. We need that. We need that unity. We need that anointing. And you know, it says that it's pleasant. It's pleasant. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when something's pleasant, it's calming. It's peaceful. It's happy satisfaction. It's enjoyment. It's like an anointing that just makes you feel good all over. Hallelujah. When you get in the anointing of God, you just get to a place where you feel like you're going behind that veil to the holiest of holy, in a place you just don't even want to come back to reality, praise God. That's what the anointing is like, and that's where the unity comes from. Aaron was anointed, and David was anointed. Even the sick is to be and the afflicted is to be anointed, praise God. It takes that anointing, that unity, but you're never going to have the anointing without the unity, praise God. That's what unity is likened unto. It's likened unto the anointing. In Isaiah 10:27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burdens shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." That's bearing one another's burdens, praise God. Brother Bo, that's bearing one of those burdens. You care about that young man. That's bearing his burden. And that anointing, that's what's going to break that yoke of bondage and help that man to overcome and bring him to the place where he needs to be. That's bearing one another's burden. When one rejoices, we all should rejoice. And when one suffers, we all should suffer their burden with them. Praise God. Romans 12:16 says, "Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." That means talk to them on a level that they understand. A lot of times you'll see pastors and preachers and even lay members that want to use big, fine, fancy words, you know, that people don't even understand. Like me, a lot of times when I hear things, I don't understand what they're talking about. Sometimes we just got to get down low, praise God, and get to the place where people can understand what we're trying to tell them. Because, I told one lady one time, everywhere she went, she wanted to just quote a scripture. I said, "You know what? You're not doing nothing, but it's barbaric to them. They don't have no understanding what you're even talking about." We need to get to the place where people understand where we're coming from and what we're trying to tell them, praise God. "Be not wise in your own conceit," which means in your own self. Don't think you're so high-minded that you're better than anybody else, because it don't work. Many people look for high-minded words that most people like me don't understand. But my dad was a simple man, not with big fancy words. He was down to earth when people of lower estate could understand him. And he left a legacy behind him because he preached love, but he preached judgment also, praise God. You know, they walk hand in hand. And if you're going to judge somebody, then do it in love, that they can understand that you're doing it because you love them, not because you're just trying to look down upon them. You know, God is looking for humbleness, not high-mindedness or conceit. God doesn't want schisms. He doesn't want divisions. He doesn't want cliques. He don't want respect of persons in his people. He wants unity. He wants togetherness. He wants a divine agape love, one for another. When God called the apostles together, it was for a reason. It was to bring together a church, Sister Lucinda. They was getting ready to bring the church about, praise God. And on the day of Pentecost, that's just exactly what they done. But they had to be in unity. Could you imagine if the apostles went every which way preaching all different kinds of things? That's where the world's at today. So many churches is preaching so many different things, son, that nobody knows what to believe anymore. They don't know what's real. They don't know what's truth. They need to get back to the old path and go back to the old doctrine where the apostles were telling them how to do, what to do, when to do, and how to do. Praise God. That's why they would come together for their feast, for their journey, so that they would be in unity, that they would come together as they went, that they were in one accord. Was it one over here and one over here? Can you imagine if this body goes about, Brother John tells us something, if this body goes about, one of us says, "Well, I believe this way," and another says, "I believe this way." Well, next thing you know, everybody's going to be gone out of the church. There ain't going to be nobody here no more. We've got to be in unity with what God tells us. One mind, one accord. That's the way the church is scattered all over the world, and you can't reach them. You can't tell them what the body that needs to be in unity. Brother John's been teaching us about discipleship and staying with babes in Christ. That's unity. If you don't fuel a fire, that fire goes out. You know, if we don't stay alive in one another's lives, we're going to lose somebody. And we have lost people. And it's because we haven't stayed alive with them, John. It's because we haven't reached out to them like we should have. It's because we haven't been in unity with them like we should have been. And that's sad. We can't just keep a fire burning on the ones that we care about. That's respect a person. But we've got to love everyone. We've got to come about in a way that we don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. We don't want to see nobody be lost, praise God. We need to help everyone. When I'm down, I need to be united with someone else's fire or draw from their well. It gives me strength. Hallelujah. And it keeps me alive. And it's the same way when Sister Kim was in the hospital, Carl and the kids needed to draw from somebody else's well. They needed to have a fire joined to their fire. Sister Wanda, Brother Kenny, they needed that. Sister Mariah needed that. Mikey Ramsey, bless his heart, he needed that. The Reed family needs that right now. Praise God, Sister Wanda and Brother Norman, they need that. They need that fire. You know why? Because right now they're weak. They're out of church. They can't come because of all this stuff that's going on. But they need to draw from somebody's fire. You know, no wonder that a unity candle is called a unity candle. Because when you light them two candles on the side and you put them together, what happens? That flame grows and becomes higher. And it's the same way with the children of God today. When we get united, our fire becomes higher and higher and prayer, more powerful in God's work. Hallelujah. That's where we need to go, Sister Lucinda. We need to have more power in God. Hallelujah. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need one another. We need one another's help. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good in so many ways that you'll never tell them all. We'll never figure it all out. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes 4, 11 and 12. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And threefold cord is not easily broken. You know what that tells me? That tells me there's power in numbers. And if you got somebody else's number with you, you become more powerful. Hallelujah. And you know, and I remember years ago, a sister, when God told me one day, said, I'm going to send you out in twos. I'm not with this sister today, but God knows all about it. But I'll tell you one thing, we've seen God work in many, many different miraculous ways. Hallelujah. And you know, there was times that I knew her thoughts and she knew mine. You know why? Because we was in one accord. Glory to God. And God could work with us. Hallelujah. And lead us and guide us and show us what the other one had need of. That's where we need to be today, in unity with one another, in one accord. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. A lot of people don't like going in here, but I love this word right here. We'll start at 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been to made drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Many were here today. Hallelujah. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I don't think so. My hand is on here, my foot's on here, but it's still this same body, praise God. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. You know what? Brother John's a pastor. But you know what? If it wasn't for you, he'd have no use being a pastor. He wouldn't come in here and just preach to himself. It takes the whole body of Christ, because he needs you. You need him. We all need one another. And if they were all one member, then where would the body be? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be, what? More feeble. More feeble. You know what that means? That means the ones in low estate. Praise God, the feeble ones are necessary. That's the one, son, that needs to hear the word of God. That's the ones that needs your help and my help. That's the ones that we need to be reaching out to. Praise God. The Bible said those are a whole have no need of the physician. But it's the others. It's the sinners. It's the ones that's lost. The humble one. That's the one, the feeble. That's the ones that we need to be helping. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. You know why? Because they need us more. They need more honor than anybody else does. They need to be recognized that they're needed above everybody else because everybody else knows they're needed. But the ones that feels like they're nothing, they need to be recognized and honored to let them know that they are needed. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's what we got to do. We've got to have the same care one for another. We've got to care about each other. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. Praise God. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers, and after that, miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Wait a minute. Somebody said that all this was just for the apostles. According to this right here, it says it's for the churches. Praise God. Somebody's getting robbed, ain't they? Somebody's being left out, Brother Brad. Are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, a more excellent way. Love. The Bible says love's the greatest of them all. Praise God. We need love for one another. We need these gifts because there is power in them. And there's strength in them. And if somebody comes in the church and they see them exercising, they see them being used, then they look at that and they feel something. I don't care. You know, I told a brother tonight, I said, if it's real, you feel it. If it's counterfeit, you feel it. You know what's real and what's not. Praise God. And that's how you know the Spirit of God, because it just stirs something within you that you know something is real. Something's going on. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn to you know what? I guess that was my last scripture, but that's all right. So I'll just go on. Saints, a church doesn't work properly if you're not in unity. You know, we watched Sister Kim when she come home, and she would throw her arm, and she'd have to throw her legs. And my sister-in-law the same way. Their bodies didn't work properly. You know why? Because it wasn't in line. But you know what? When we get in line with one another, I'm talking about the body of Christ now. I'm not talking about a natural body. Now, the natural body, we've seen how it don't focus when something's messed up on it. But I'm talking about the body of Christ, and it's the same way. If something is out of joint in it, it don't work right. If somebody comes in here and they're set on the Spirit of God, it don't work right. We all should be ready to come through the door praising God, hallelujah, lifting him up, hit this altar, and get ready for God to move up on somebody that none of us leaves here like we came, hallelujah. You know, it just amazes me how I can look back over my life and remember days in the churches, and I can just remember how that people would speak in tongues and prophesy, and I'd see the sick healed, and I'd see the gifts being used, and you know, and I can remember just sitting there thinking, oh my God, I want that, I want that, I want that. And I had to go after it, Sister Serene. I wasn't satisfied. There was something in me that was just longing for it. And that's what we need today, something that people long for. Hallelujah. They walk in a dead church today and think, there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there that I want. If that's Christian, then I don't want no part of it. But you know, if it's a lively church, God wants lively stones. Hallelujah. He wants a people that will come together and lift him up and praise him. Hallelujah. That the world will know that we serve a God that is the great I am, and he ain't changed. He's that same God today. Just as the flame gets bigger on a unity candle, we can come together in unity the same way, and the fire in this place will grow, and people will be added. I feel like this place is fixing to blossom. I feel like in my spirit, God has just been getting us ready. I feel like it's coming, church, but you know what? We need to be ready. When they come through the door, we want to have something that they desire, not something that they walk out of here and think, I'm not never going back there no more because that's a dead church and I don't want no part of it. We want lively stones. We want, and I'm not talking about counterfeits. I'm talking about genuine people lifting up the name of God. I'm talking about a people that's watching their life, praise God, and not letting their evil be or good be spoken evil of. I'm talking about a people that lives the life the best that they know how. I know we all make mistakes, but you know what? Don't go out there and sin willfully and then come in here and think you're going to stand up and praise the Lord, hallelujah, because you're setting a bad example for all of those that come through the door. You need to be on fire for God. You need to be living the life, doing, walking the walk, talking the talk, and doing everything that you can possibly do to be living right. Hallelujah. Let that light shine. You're putting a bushel over it. You're hiding it, praise God, when you're out here sinning and doing things that you shouldn't be doing and then coming in here and trying to praise God and lift him up. You're hiding your light is what you're doing. You know, I remember when I smoked and I thought, oh, my God, I can remember hiding my cigarettes every time I come across a Christian. And one day I had to realize something's wrong with this picture. Something's wrong with this picture. You know, I'm letting the wrong kind of light shine. People seeing that. I don't want that. And today I'm telling you, if you've got something in your life that shouldn't be there, and you want to come in here and you want to praise God, then come in here trying your best to do what God would have you to do. Try your best to live for the Lord like he would have you to do. I'm not saying that you're not going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. We all fall sometimes. And that's when we need to be there to pick one another up. But at the same time, we need to be in there to help one another and encourage one another, lift one another up. We need to be recognizing when we have visitors. You know, I've had one little man tell me, he said, that's an unfriendly bunch of people over there. We don't want that kind of reputation, guys. We want people to come in here and say, that's the lovingest, friendliest, kindest people that you'd ever want to meet. And you young people, I want to encourage you. And I know that you're all close. And I know that you guys like to get up here and talk to one another. But let me encourage you today. Spread out a little bit and go back and shake somebody's hand. Let them know that you're glad to see them. Let them know that you're glad that they're here. And you know, today I just would like to say that the church needs unity in the spirit, so that all these gifts can work, that we can see God manifested and see him lifted up. And today I want to say that I want to thank God. I'm not thankful that this happened to Sister Tammy, but I am thankful that the young people, the young ladies were there, because they absolutely got to see a miracle. And you know what? They'll build upon that. That's a solid rock, a foundation for them. Now when things come about in their life, they can look back and say, my God done this, so I know he can do this. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that the young lady saw that. Not thankful that it happened to Sister Tammy, but I am thankful that the ladies come together. But you know what? Had they not come together in unity that night, she probably wouldn't be here today. But you know, because immediately, all the ladies came together in one mind, one accord, buddy, and just started lifting up the name of Jesus. And we saw what God could do then. How much more can God do it right here in this body? Hallelujah. Somebody can walk in here and be blind. They can be deaf. They can be lame and not be able to walk. That same God that raised Tammy up off the floor that night. Hallelujah. If we get in one mind and one accord in this house, hallelujah, God will raise somebody up. Way that God would have us to do. Praise the Lord. I love each and every one of you. My heart has been heavy with the scriptures and things. I thought, my God, we need unity so bad. We need one another so bad. Some are weak. Some are wounded. Some are hurt. This past week, I've been hurt really bad. But you know what? I'll draw from your wells. Hallelujah. I'll put my fire with your fire and I'll make it. Hallelujah. My God will take me through and he'll help me to overcome because we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We are victory and winners. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just come to praise him and lift him up. Please. Please make everybody feel welcome as they come in. Please, if you see somebody that's hurting, go to them. Hug their neck. Shake their hand. Tell them you love them. Tell them that you're praying for them. You'll never know what a smile or a prayer can just do for somebody. Hallelujah. How I can lift them up and give them hope. We can bring hope in so many ways and not even realize. Praise God. I love each and every one of you. And I desire to see this church grow. I desire to see God just bless each and every one of us. I desire to see the gifts used. I desire, Brother John, for the word to go out and say there's something going on over there. Oh, hallelujah. My sister-in-law called me the other day and said there's a little 78-year-old woman that had COVID in their church. She said, would you have your church pray for her? I had them to pray. I called her back today. They said she's off of the ventilator. Hallelujah. God is so good. And his arm is not short. There's no distance to where God can reach. Hallelujah. But we've got to take the limits off of him, people. We've got to just let him go. Let him be free to work in our lives. We've just got to let him go and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. What would you have me to do? I thank the Lord. I praise him in every way because truly he has been so good to me in so many ways. He has blessed my whole life through. I could never repay God for everything he's done for me. Never, ever. Never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. But you know what? I've got a determination. I'm going home. I'm going to make it one of these days because I am going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to stand before my Lord, and I hope he says, welcome home, my faithful servant. Hallelujah. You know what it's going to feel like to hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words, but I want to be ready to meet him with a shout. Hallelujah. I got some treasures laid up, and I got some intentions of seeing them. Praise God. But most of all, I've got an intention of seeing the one that has kept me and the one that has just saved me and kept me day by day. Hallelujah. Kept me all the way through when I had my heart attack, you know, right in the church house. And I can remember I knew something was wrong, didn't know what it was, never been told I had anything wrong with my heart. But, you know, I knew something was wrong. And I went upstairs. I said, I need prayer. And they prayed for me, and I sat there the rest of the service. Praise God. And then after church was over with, then I had to go to the hospital. When I got there, they put my kids in a quiet room. Didn't know if I was going to make it or not. But you know, had I got up and run out of church that day, I might not be here. But because I was determined that I was going to sit right there, I was going to trust in my God. Hallelujah. He's seen me through. And I praise the Lord for that. That's been 22 years ago today. Hallelujah. And I love the Lord. I thank him. Hallelujah. For everything, every prayer he's heard and answered, every need that he's met, not only for my family, but for your family. family and for your family and for your family. Praise God for each and every one of you. I could go down through here and I could call each one of you and say things that God has done for you, because I know, because I pay attention to what God's doing. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that today. I praise the Lord because I suffered with you through your suffering. Praise God. I prayed for you. And that's what we need to do. Love one another. Pray for one another. Stand by one another. Hallelujah. God bless you.